So we're going to read another short passage, which is from carrying on in Luke's Gospel. And we're going to read Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. And this is later in the day, so the bit that Bill read earlier was first thing in the morning, and this is quite a lot later in the day now, on Easter Day, or the first Easter. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Lord, I pray that you will speak to us through these words this morning, in Jesus' name. Sometimes when we hear a piece of news, it can take a while to reach from our head to our heart. And this often happens when someone we love has passed away. We know in our head the intellectual fact that the person has died. But for a long time afterwards, we might think we're going to hear their voice coming through the door and saying hello. Or we might take out our phone to send them a message. We know the fact in our heads, but the truth takes a while, doesn't it, to seep down from our heads to our hearts. And for the disciples we just read about, it was even more difficult for them to grasp the truth of the resurrection. These people don't come back from the dead. And by the time we get to the passage we've just read, as I said, we're late in the day on Easter Sunday. The women have been to the tomb first thing in the morning and they've witnessed that the stone has been rolled away, the grave is empty. And then Peter has seen the risen Jesus. And then what's happened is two more disciples have just arrived back in Jerusalem. They were on their way home to a place called Emmaus when Jesus appeared and walked with them on the road. At first, they'd not recognised him, but finally, when he broke the bread, they realised who he was. And when it says in verse 36, they were still talking about this, that's what they were talking about, that Jesus is alive. So Jesus is alive. They know it as a fact. They've heard the news. But the news hasn't yet travelled the 12 inches or so from their heads to their hearts. So when Jesus himself appears in the room with them, it says that they are startled and frightened, that they think they've seen a ghost. But Jesus wants to make it crystal clear to them that it really is him, alive, breathing, flesh and bones, not a zombie, not a spirit, not a hallucination. And Luke records and his feet, the scars from the agony that he's been through on the cross, so they can see that it's him. And he invites the disciples not just to look, but also to touch. You see that in verse 39. Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. But they still can't believe it. They still can't believe it. It seems too good to be true. So he asks for a piece of fish. Well, he asks for anything to eat, and they give him a piece of fish, and he takes it and he eats it in their presence. This is the risen Jesus, alive, a flesh and blood man with them, eating food. So they don't just hear about the intellectual fact that Jesus is alive. They experience it too. They experience his presence. I wonder what it's like for us. Has it made the journey? The fact that Jesus is alive, that good news, has it made the journey yet? From our heads to our hearts. We might know all the facts in our head. We might have heard the good news that Jesus is alive. But have we experienced his presence for ourselves? Have we got to know him? And Jesus said, don't doubt, it really is me. I really am alive. So today we want to open our hearts to Jesus and really experience the truth of the resurrection. Jesus is alive. So that's the first thing Jesus wants them to know, that he really is alive. And the second thing he wants them to know is that the whole Bible has been pointing to him. Verse 44, this is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the writings. Jesus is saying, it's all about me, all of it. Some people struggle reading the Old Testament. I don't know, do some of you struggle reading the Old Testament? Harry likes it, I know, so you like it, don't you? And some Christians never even really read it. And I can understand that, you know, it's ancient, it can be difficult, can be violent, sometimes it's hard to understand. But it's worth wrestling with because Jesus is telling us here that at the end of the day, the whole story finds its climax and fulfillment in him. And when we begin to read it, when we study it, when we meditate on it, what we find there is this one big question waiting for an answer. That's what the whole of the Old Testament is. It's like one big question waiting for an answer. And that answer is Jesus. I would have absolutely loved to be there when it says in verse 45, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That's like the best Bible study in the whole world. Jesus himself actually telling them that it's what it's all about. I'd love to have been an eavesdropper there. Unfortunately, Luke doesn't actually tell us much of what he said. But the good news for you and me is that we are actually living in an age when we've got access to so many resources that can help us to read and study the Bible. Sometimes we do need a little bit of help, so just ask if you need help to know where to look. Or come along to one of the church Bible study groups and we can wrestle with it together. So Jesus wants them to know that he's really alive, and he wants them to know that all the scriptures are pointing to him. And then finally, he wants them to know that there's a part for them to play as well. Verse 47. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So this little group of disciples who a few moments ago were terrified and thought he was a ghost, he's telling them, you're going to shake the world. And the gospel, the good news about Jesus is going to go out to all nations. And eventually it's going to reach the very edge of the Roman Empire, a rugged little island called Ennismon, the ends of the earth. You are witnesses of these things, he says. You are witnesses. And he says this to us too. He says this to us too. We're not eyewitnesses like the disciples, but we are witnesses to the power of God at work in our own lives. We know the risen Jesus is alive. We know what he's done for us. We know the truth of the resurrection. And we are called to be witnesses in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our families, in our community. And we won't be on our own. We're not on our own. Jesus says to them, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. That's the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. You're going to be clothed with power from on high. And of course, that did happen a few weeks later at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down on the disciples. And from there, the church just exploded. But the Holy Spirit wasn't just for those original disciples. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to you and me today. I love that idea of being clothed with power. If we think of a high court judge or a police officer or a major in the army, if they're wearing their civilian clothes, they're just an ordinary person, aren't they? But when they put on their robes or their uniform, suddenly they have authority, they have power. And when we're clothed with the Holy Spirit, it's like that for us too. We're clothed with the presence of Christ, and God's power enables us to do more than we can ask or imagine, and we can be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So that's the three things Jesus is saying to us too, just as he says to his disciples in this passage. It's really true. I am alive. Let's let that truth sink down from our heads to our hearts. And then the second one, look, the whole Bible's about me. Get stuck into the scriptures because they point to me. If you want to know me better, you need to know them better. And then the third thing, you are my witnesses. So there's a part for us all to play in this story. With the power of the Holy Spirit, a little band of people can shake the whole world. Jesus is alive. He is risen. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for that truth that you are alive. And we thank you that because of that, we can have the power of the Holy Spirit and we can go forth from this place not afraid, and we can be witnesses wherever we go. So we pray that you would fill us anew today, empower us, lead us, guide us, and help us to praise you and rejoice in all that you've done for us. Amen.